Today I'm going to be speaking on, I'm going to call this this message, The Well Within, okay? And I'm actually going to start with a story today. And when I was growing up, I played hockey. I was an avid hockey player. Now I'm more of an avid hockey watcher, but I used to play hockey a lot more when I was a kid. I grew up in Toronto, and I played for a team called the Westmall Lightning. Okay, and it was a great league. It was 5 minutes from my house. All my friends played in the league. It was super fun, and we played on Saturday mornings. My thing was that I was always a small kid. So, like, you know when you get the class photo growing up and you have the class? I was never in the back row. I was the kid who sat, like, in the front middle with a little sign in front of you that said, you know, grade 7 or whatever. That was me, okay? I've had a little bit of a growth spurt, but not much. Yeah, so anyways, I was also, when I played hockey, I was a small guy, but I was also the feisty guy. I liked to go to the front of the net and try to smack the puck in or smack the goalie or, you know, whatever I could do, right? I liked to play that style of hockey, and which was great when I was a kid, when I was playing on Saturday mornings. But when I got to a certain age group, my league switched me from playing on Saturday mornings to Sunday mornings. And I grew up in a Christian family. My family went to church, and my parents said, nope, we're not doing that. Like, they're like, we're not driving you there, and you're coming to church. And so they gave me two options. They said, you could either not play hockey, or we can try to find a different league for you. So I said, okay. My dad found a different league, and I joined the Weston Flyers. And that played on Saturday mornings again. I went with one other friend to that league. And it was great, except that there was one minor detail about this league. I would go skating to the front of the net as a little guy, and you can cue the slide here. I would get body checked because it was a contact league. And I learned quite early that I couldn't play the same way. But anyways, I would just get body checked over and over again. And it's at the age where I'm still a little guy and growth spurts are happening, so there's guys that are twice my age and, like, have mustaches, and, you know, it's just totally different, right? And I would just get beat up in that league, get body checked, all rocked all the time. And I'm going to tie that into my message today, which is, there are a lot of things that get us riled up in this world, okay, that get us all worked up. And today I'm going to pick on one of those things. And that thing today is the news, okay? We're going to talk about a little bit about the news, because I think there is a lot of things that can get us riled up, but this is one that a lot of us can relate to. Because when you dig especially into the news cycle, and you go and check the news, like, have you ever felt that way at all, where it just feels like you're getting body checked over and over again, or we're getting body checked in this world? We're getting hit around by all this negative stuff, right? Information has never been quicker for us to take in, and some of us might even have notifications set up on our phones for news, or maybe we go home and it's just on our TV in the house. But news and social media are consistently feeding us a cycle, though, and a lot of this stuff is negativity and worrisome information and bad news, and the news monetizes our reactivity to what they present. There's a catchphrase within the news industry that if it bleeds, it leads, right? There's this weird thing that we come back for more news more frequently when it's bad news. It's kind of like me going to the front of the net in hockey for more body checks. And let's face it, we can be reactive beings, and we are a product of a reactive world. There's this message that happens, and it can sometimes be between the lines, and we really need to maybe check this, because if we don't check this at the door of our minds, there's this message that we can see this world and see what's going on in the world, and we can feel like maybe the world's just becoming worse. And that can lead us into frustration, into hopelessness, and even sometimes despair. So I want to dig in today at navigating this from a Christ-centered perspective. Like, how can we walk through this world and what we see in the world and engaging with the uneasy feelings, the stress and the frustration and the bad news and the troubled world, and find a way that our lives engages us with this world without simply falling into a cycle of despair and reactivity? Because too many times I see the world is all falling into this, right? Abandoning hope. And if not altogether, maybe not all hope, but even just a little bit at a time. We're just losing a little bit of hope. But the thing is, there's a better way. But have you seen it? Have you experienced the better way? Like, have you been able to engage with this world and what happens in this world without being defeated by it? Because we can come to church and we can sing songs and we can listen to a message and we can have good habits in our life, reading our Bible and talking to God, praying, being connected throughout the week in a community of believers like church. But even after all that, you still have a question rolling around somewhere in the back of your mind that asks, is this it? Because maybe it even feels like this life is just too broken. Maybe the whole thing about our faith is like, maybe it feels like do I just suffer? Do I just get knocked around in this world? Do I just get body checked until one day I go to heaven? Because John Tyson writes in his book, The Beautiful Resistance, and you can throw this slide up there, Gib, on the joy of conviction in a culture of compromise. He's an excellent author if you ever want to read someone new, John Tyson. This is a quote from his book. It says, "Instead of being people who have good news to share, news that could transform the world, we have become a people mired in the 24-hour news cycle, fed a constant diet of hopelessness and despair. Our ability to dismiss the work of God in the church has become toxic, and we are plagued by a lack of expectation that have begun to believe that this is all there is." But we hear rumors of this Christ, right? This one that we sing and we learn about, the one who conquered death, and the one that it says in when Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. And maybe we believe it, but we're like, I don't see it, though. I don't see it. I just see a world falling apart more and more into disaster, and I feel like I'm ingrained in that mess. Or maybe you've heard this verse a bunch of times, and it's just, you know, it's like a song that you sing a bunch of times, and you know the words, and you stop paying attention to what that actually means. I know I can sometimes do that, right? And even the deepest message can start to sound like, go ahead, Gib. A Hanson song. Nope, not that one. Keep going. Right? And so it's like, oh, okay. So, and then it just loses all meaning, right? So we have to go back in and we have to think through what that actually means to have a rich and a satisfying life. And even if we're still paying attention to what those words mean, here we are, as we're seeing the words of Christ as some distant ideal maybe, but we're mired within this world and reacting to this world and feeling overwhelmed. So let me remind you of something today. You cannot do this life well alone. You can push through and you can persevere and you can put the work in, which is beautiful, but the thief in this life is a pain and is sneaky and is trying to outlast your perseverance. There's a really weird book by C.S. Lewis, and it's one called The Screwtape Letters. Has anyone ever read that book before? You heard of it? Yeah, it's a weird one. It's basically him looking at two demons that are kind of, well, like there's a demon writing a letter to another demon. Okay, so one's called Screwtape, and the other one's called Wormwood, and he's kind of giving advice to this demon on how to best mess with a human being. And, you know, they call him the patient, and trying to basically get him into hell. And it's a fictional book, but it's trying to get at the idea of the pitfalls of humanity, right? And kind of how the enemy's working within that. And I'm just going to read a quote, and it'll be up on the screen here, from the book. It says this: "Whatever he says, let his inner resolution be not to bear whatever comes to him, but to bear it for a reasonable period. And let the reasonable period be shorter than the trial is likely to last." We can try to push through, but our strength and all of its good intentions, with all of our disciplines, with all our power, still have an uphill battle alone. We can only take so much, and we are because we're limited beings. But now I want to remind you of the truth, because I'm kind of done listing the problem at this point. The truth is, you are not alone, right? You are not alone. When you read this, the stuff that's going on in this world, you know, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and political pains and natural disasters and death and sickness, you are not stuck going through that alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Right? God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you. And it also dwells within community. In John 4, when Jesus reveals that he's the Messiah or the Christ, he meets with this woman at a well and asks for a drink, which is a random way to start a conversation. But when she asks why, Jesus responds with this. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Living water. Let me remind you of something. This is the main point today, okay? You have a deep well within yourself. A deep well within yourself. Not something you can conjure up, not some extra gear within yourself that you can do any more than you already do. This is not you. But the Holy Spirit lives within you. In John chapter 7, it says this. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Jesus now has entered into his glory with his resurrection. Amen? So now that Spirit is within you. For us who believe, right? In Romans chapter 8, it says this, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." But maybe you're like, okay, I got living water, but what does that even mean for me now? Because yes, heaven is your inheritance where we will one day be in paradise, but is this Spirit within us, is it just a get into heaven pass? Like, is it the Spirit of God somehow, someone who watches us maybe get beat up by this world, and as the world crumbles and it maybe feels bad for us, like a friend's tied with his hands tied behind his back? Or maybe this Spirit within us is just some formality in God's mysterious plan, where because maybe we haven't seen it at work, maybe we haven't tried it out. Right? I remember Leticia, she gave me, after we did a big kitchen renovation at our old house, she got me a skill saw for a gift. And it stayed in a package for a while because I didn't have the next job to go to, right? Maybe we have the Holy Spirit, but we kind of just have it still in the box, right? And the Holy Spirit is not just some abstract power that we don't know how to wield, okay? The Holy Spirit is God. Right? God, the living God, lives inside of us. He inhabits his people. He is this well within us. And I think many of us, including me, underestimate this deep well of God that resides within us. But we don't face this world alone. We do not look only within ourselves in any situation. We have the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit, like God is within us. Does that not excite you? Like you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And if that doesn't get us excited, if that doesn't get us out of our seat, what does, right? Because if the trial gets you more reactive than the Holy Spirit gets you excited, you may not have a good understanding of who is within you. Or if you get more excited about maybe a sports match or politics or a trip or whatever, the same applies. But the Holy Spirit is a person and is a well within you, a deep, never-ending well that loves you, that is with you to face anything the world throws at you. I'm going to read a little bit from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. It says this. For this reason, that might be a hard one to read. I'll try. For this reason, I bow my knees and pray to the Father. It is from him that every family in heaven and on earth has its name. I pray that because of the riches of his shining greatness, he'll make you, listen to this, strong with power in your hearts through what? Through the Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ may live in your hearts by faith. I pray that you'll be filled with love. I pray that you'll be able to understand how wide and long and high and how deep his love is. And I pray that you will know the love of Christ. His love goes beyond anything we can understand. I pray that you'll be filled with God himself. God is able to do much more than we ask or think through his power, which is not out there. It's working in us. May we see his shining greatness in the church. May all people in all time honor Christ Jesus. Let it be so. The world is telling you a story right now. One of negativity that is calling for you to react negatively in despair. But God, who lives inside you, who is the well of living water that doesn't have a bottom or some end, is calling you to shine in this world. This God inside of you is able to do more than you could ever ask or imagine. And how? It's through his power working inside of us, inside of you, okay? Inside of us as believers. We do not need to despair. We need to remind ourselves that we are loved, that we have have power in us through the Holy Spirit to impact everywhere we touch for the good. And that needs to increase our expectations when we see brokenness around us. It needs to increase our expectations when we pray. It needs to increase our ability to face this day or this week or this month, or this year, or this decade, whatever it is. And it's not saying hardships won't be there, because of course they will be. There's a verse that at our house, Leticia has, like, we have a blackboard in our kitchen, and Leticia's been writing Bible verses on it. And we've been trying to, like, memorize them as a family. And one that we had up on our board was from Psalm 46, and it says this. God is a refuge and strength, always ready and help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Or, you know, think of whatever other junk you want to put there that gets put in your way, right? Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge, because there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. There is living water, not out there, but in me, in you, in us. And as Christ touched the hearts of us and so many before us, he still does today. The Spirit of God is inside of you, and the Spirit of God is not the absence of Christ, right? He was sent by Jesus, as it says in Luke, and he's the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, as it says in Romans 8. He is a person and he is God, not just some power. So I beg you today, do not walk this life alone, caught in the practices of living a Christian life without going to this deep well within us, beyond ourselves, to step in and have this abundant life in this world, no matter what the circumstances are. I'm going to give one other quote by John Tyson, which says this. We need to be shepherded by the Holy Spirit under the care of the Good Shepherd. Because under the care of the Good Shepherd, our souls will be restored. Under the shepherding of our culture, our souls will be destroyed. So let's remind ourselves that we have this deep well of living water, no matter what the world tries to pull us towards. And so I just have three take-it-home points today. And Gib, you can throw those up. When you see bad news or news that bothers you, or like I was just picking on the news today, we have trials of all kinds in our lives. Go to the well. The well is inside of you. And the well is not you, it's God. The second one is, instead of just dwelling on a matter and getting frustrated or worried, like, pray into what you see instead of just dwelling on it. And the third one is to increase your expectations of the Spirit of God working within you. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to welcome the worship team back up. Father God, thank you that you are not distant and removed, God, but you are here in our midst, God. You are in the community of believers, God, and you dwell within us, God. Father, we just pray as we go throughout this week, as we leave the doors of this church today, God, we just pray that that your Spirit will be reminded is within us, that we have a well that is beyond ourselves, God, that we do not do things on our own strength, God, but we rely on you in any time of need. So thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.